So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard.
And he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he shields the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in. Just hold on.
Our Lord will show up and he will take you
through the fire again.
Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again.
He is one who will guide us from here to home. And we appreciate the Lord and the things that he has done in our life. And speaking of all of us, I'm sure you could testify as well and appreciate and thank the Lord for what he's going to do in our life. So this morning we want to welcome you to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. Welcome all those on Facebook as well. We do not take your presence for granted, virtually that is. And so we're very, very thankful to have God's people in God's house this morning. And I hope you've come to worship. We are excited and ready to worship ourselves. And thank you for allowing us to be gone for a few services. And we were going on vacation last week. And by the time we got there and got settled in, it finally stopped raining. It rained the whole way to Florida. And I guess that's fine as long as it don't rain while we're there the whole time. And it didn't. But we had a great time and ended up on a ship about 20 miles out off the coast going night fishing. And so we had a great, great time. And I'm glad we made it back to land safely too. And you got to be fully committed mentally when you're on that boat because there's no way off of that thing. But anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate the time away. And again, we're looking forward to the service this morning and this evening. And let's just remember a couple folks in prayer. Let me say this before we mention a couple people. We do have bulletins in hand now. And so we have some to my right, your left, and in the foyer as well. And so we have bulletins back in hand, physical bulletins. So suggest you pick one up and check it out and see what we have going on. But let's pray this morning for Miss Mary Kelly. Mary Kelly, she has been down in her back for a while. She actually sent me a message and said she broke her back. They're going to have to go in there and actually infuse some cement, she said, between the vertebrae in a certain location in her spine. So I'm not really sure to the extent of the damage that was done. I think either she had a fall or she was lifting her garage door up, and this happened. So please remember Miss Mary Kelly in your prayers. James and Shirley Townsend, they're home today sick, so let's remember them. And again, just remember all the prayer requests that we have in our bulletin and the prayer request section of that bulletin. All right, one reminder for our deacons. We'll have a brief deacons meeting just after the service this morning, and Brother Ceylon in his Sunday school classroom, so remember that. All right, one more thing. We have Brother Don Rich preaching for us this morning, and we are excited about having him come and preach God's word. They're getting ready to go back to Peru Thursday. And we always, we don't like the departure when they leave. We love it when they come. We don't like it when they leave, but we understand the calling for sure. Got to get back over where the Lord has called them. All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you today. We thank you for who you are and for what you do in our lives. Lord, just help us take a time out from all the frustrations of life, from all the challenges, God, just for 1 hour this morning. Jesus asked his disciples, that inner circle, Peter, James, and John, what could you could not pray and watch with me for 1 hour? Help us do that today, Lord. Because it's amazing what you can do in a small amount of time if we're just sober-minded and vigilant. And so we are this morning. Speak to us. Use Brother Don when he preaches. Use the choir as we sing. And Lord, we'll just return all the praise and all the glory to you because you deserve it. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Choir, if you'll stand with me, church, if you'll stand with me this morning as well, turn over to page number 393. Page 393, and let's all sing together, When We All Get to Heaven. Sing together now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we
on the last,
onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day.
Again, sing it in church.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. I'm going to ask the choir if you will just meet me this evening at 4:30 this evening for choir practice. And let me just say, if you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, if you'll come and see me, we just happen to have a few spots available. We'd love to have you. And I'm very thankful for the choir. Through everything that we've gone through over this past year, year and a half or so, they've been faithful, and I'm very thankful for that. Please continue to pray. We have some new songs right around the bend here that we're going to start working on. So we would truly appreciate appreciate your prayers. Let me just throw out another prayer request if I can. I have a very dear friend that called me yesterday evening, and she was very devastated. Unfortunately, she lost her son yesterday morning, 32 years old. He had a massive heart attack. So you can imagine the devastation. And again, we've been dear friends for a long time, so I would just ask you to please remember that family in prayer. And I love them, and I know that you'll pray for them. You're a praying church. I've already gone to some folks this morning that know what that's like. They've been there. And so please remember them in your prayers, if you would. And I know that she would greatly appreciate that. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask him to be in our service. Let me just say this morning, we have some visitors with us. We want to thank you. And we don't take that for granted either. We know you could have chosen anywhere to worship this morning, but we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. And pray that you just feel at home, and we will just worship the Lord together today. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you. Lord, we do not take it lightly that we have this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house this morning. Some can't be here today due to sickness, or, Lord, maybe they are at home and watching us on Facebook. And, Lord, we thank you and praise you for that as well. For those that can't be here today due to sickness or situations that they may be going through physically, Lord, I pray that you touch them. May your healing hand be upon them. Lord, those that are where the death angel has visited this week, God, I pray, Lord, I pray that you'd be with those families. Give them that peace that does pass all understanding. Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for bringing Pastor back home and their family. And, Lord, I thank you for Brother Don being able to be here with us this morning. Lord, speak through him. Lord, we need to hear the word. May our hearts and minds be open to receive it. And Lord, our God, I pray that you would so fill this place with your Holy Spirit today. Draw us closer to you. Lord, may we leave closer to you than when we came in. Save someone this morning would be our prayer. We'll thank you and praise you for it all. Now, Lord, bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know exactly what is needed financially for here at the church. We'll praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who travel from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born blind so that we could be born again. It's about the storm that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not all about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saves me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the storm that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and good. It's the ending that can save you, and that's why we
Well, good morning. Sure. Anybody else? I don't want to hold back anything. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. He's always faithful. Amen. Well, just turn around and look at it. We're in church this morning. He's faithful. We've got all these young people here this morning. He's faithful. We've got young people that are praising his name in song and just being present here this morning. He's faithful. Anybody else want to say something? It's his service, not mine. Y'all go ahead. Great to hear a young person said, you know, I haven't been a Christian long, but God's been good and he's faithful. And I can say, and hearing Brother Brian say, I'm 40-something years old, and God's been good. Well, I'm 62, and God's still been good, and I know there's many of you here. Well, I'm not going to say many because I don't want to bring that out, but there are people here older than I am, and I guarantee you can say God is good. Amen?
Amen.
All right, those that said amen, we know who you are. All right. Anybody else want to say anything? Yes, sir. Amen. 72. 72. All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I love what it said. We are the next generation. They are, not me. We are the next generation, and we need to be the ones standing up and speaking for God. That is so true. As the older ones, we need to be praising the Lord for what He's done, but I tell you, we need to be doing it for their testimony so they can see what God has done all our lives. But then it's their time to step up also and do the same thing. Amen. Anybody else? Saved for 18 years, and yes, ma'am. Lord still heals, doesn't He? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. 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 This church has always stood behind its young people. Anyone else?
Sure.
I'm enjoying the service. Anybody else? Anybody else got something they want to say? Anybody else? Don't want anybody to miss the opportunity. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Brag on the Lord today. Amen. Amen. I just want to praise the Lord for our children's home and the way that they're raising up and these children and for our house parents over there and just and this church. Praise the Lord for the guidance that's giving to young people. Anybody else? Never know how God's going to use a situation. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Never said the cross would not be heavy, but he'd bring us through the fire. We may have to go through the fire, but he'll bring us through it. Anybody else? Now, brother, it's quarter till 12. Go ahead.
I'd like to say I'm very thankful that God is our Savior. And one thing that I'd really like to put the point across is everyone in this church feels like family, although I'm not that young. And to hear everybody in here talk about how they're so proud to be a child of God, if that don't bring you closer, I don't know what to do.
Amen. Yeah. God's not done yet. Anybody else? Very quiet. Brother, how do you want me to proceed? Okay. Nobody else? Well, go ahead and get into the Word of God. I do want to say I am proud of our church. And I love this church, and I'm proud of my God who allows me to serve from this church. And Carl and I will be going back this Thursday, so y'all pray for us. The president was just elected, is a socialist, and we're not expecting good things, but we know God's still in control. So if y'all would pray as we head back this Thursday, and we'll be actually home at our home there in Cajamarca, Peru this Friday, and I'll be hitting the ground running. So y'all pray for us. We appreciate y'all. We love you. We always enjoy coming back, and we have enjoyed a wonderful time with family and friends, and the very few times we've been able to be here, we've enjoyed it, and we just love you, want you to know that. But let's go ahead and get into the Word as we begin, and I'll try to go quickly, but y'all just bear with me. As we begin, I'd like to start with a twist to an old statement, an old saying. It says, you can fool some of the people some of the time. But I want to add to that this morning, you can never fool an all-knowing God. You can never fool him. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us, examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. And Colossians 2:7 says that we are to be established in the faith. And I want us to think seriously on these two verses as we look at what God has for us in this message today. If you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I just want to say, I pray that we can get a fresh look at this familiar passage. I want us to see how it applies to our eternal destiny this morning. I will be conscious of the time, but I do want you to realize that in Peru, we're an hour behind you, so that gives me an extra hour. So I'm in good shape this morning. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. I'm going to do something. I know you've been sitting for a little while. If everybody would stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, I'm going to read down through verse 11. Everybody just stand up if you can. This says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you would just help us to make this fresh today, to help us to learn something. Lord, I know that this church has heard much good preaching and probably many times, even on this subject. But Lord, I pray that we take something away today that you would have for us. For us in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the first verse of chapter 5, the part we just read, begins with an interjection. One small word that changes the entire tone of the narrative that we're reading this morning. I want you to notice the first word in verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, but. this one word is here to bring our attention to an important lesson this morning. You know, when we see the word therefore, we've heard that many times, we know we can look at the preceding verses to see what it is there for. And it's the same. By looking back in the preceding chapters, we're able to see a pattern in the story here that's about to change right after this little three-letter word, but. Look with me back in Acts chapter 1. We're going to very quickly go over a couple of verses, kind of see where the background is on this. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Everybody knows this verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the beginning of this prophecy that we just read started in the very next chapter at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles, which allowed them to speak in languages that they had never learned, so that the gospel that they preached would be believed. And that's another story for another day. But folks, there are no unknown languages that we just automatically start speaking. It's languages we never learned. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Again, we're just going to quickly go over a few chapters here. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now verse 37 says that those listening were pricked in their hearts, meaning that they had been shaken to a spiritual awareness by what they had just heard. Now, once they were aware of their lost spiritual condition, they asked Peter what they needed to do. And Peter instructed them that they needed to repent. They needed to turn from their sin so that they could be forgiven and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he repeated that plea in Acts chapter 3 in verse 19. So over in chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." So not only were they promised forgiveness, but also their sins would be forgotten. I mean, Psalms 103, you know, tells us that our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, and such a blessing there. Now look with me at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Peter made it very plain here to those listening that the only way to be saved was through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to see just a couple more verses for some background as we move on quickly. In chapter 4, we see that the chief priests and the elders had commanded Peter and John to stop teaching or even talking about Jesus. But I want you to see their reply in verse 20. They reply by saying, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So they were released, but they were still concerned about further persecution. So they prayed to God for boldness to continue preaching. Look down in verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things that which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common." Look down at verse 34. "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." Now I want you to notice a couple of things. It says, "brought the prices of the things that were sold," talking about the entire price here. I want you to notice also that this boldness in the word is what caused a multitude to receive Christ as their Savior. Now, the pattern in this story that I was talking about, I mentioned earlier, was that God was working here. I mean, we see the gospel was being preached with power. Many souls were being saved. They were following through in baptism. Lives were being drastically changed. Hearts were turned to the Lord. New believers' eyes were being opened, no longer focused on just what they wanted and their own needs and their greed. And with this newfound love that we see in what we're seeing here in their hearts, they begin to see the needs of others. They started looking away from just me, and they started seeing all those around them. And many sold their possessions so that they could use that money to help others. But look back again at verse 1 of chapter 5. But Sadly, in the midst of all the spiritual awakening, there were exceptions. Not everyone had opened their heart fully to faith in God's Son and trusted in His provision. And as in any group, those exceptions can cause a bad testimony. If not confronted and dealt with, they can cause a deterioration in the fellowship. And that includes in our churches. You see, their apathy and their lack of adherence to the core beliefs can spread like a bad virus with growth in it, and similar acts and attitudes can grow up out of that. Now, many of us, you probably saw in the news, started a couple of months ago, I know about several wealthy and influential parents who lied about their children's sports accomplishments, and they paid money under the table so that their children would be accepted to a certain university. You probably saw that on the news. And you got to think, those children would had to have been aware of the lies that their parents were telling. They had to know they had to keep up the lies if they wanted to stay in that school. And it's sad to know that not only were the parents unscrupulous, but they were teaching their children the same way of living, the same unscrupulous way of living, the same way of life, making them accomplices in that cheating scandal. You know that many who had worked hard, they had applied to the university, they went through the process, they paid their fees, they did everything they needed to do, they had to study side by side with these imposters who did nothing to belong. Now, as we look back at our central verses for this message, we're going to see a couple who were the exception to the many true Christians who had given their all to God. And I want us to look closely at them and at the same time examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. And I'm just going to say it right up front. There's been many in this church, including in places of leadership in this church that I've seen in the past 20-some-odd years since I've been here, that thought they were saved for a while and then realized they weren't. And I pray, if there's anyone here this morning, my prayer is that no one will walk out of this building without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior and knowing 100%, not just knowing, but knowing 100%. You know, I would venture to say that in every church there are those who fall into this exception or the imposter category. They may be members on paper, but they're not members in truth. And by that I mean the sense of looking at it biblically, what God says would be part of His church, those biblical qualifications. Look back again at Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept that part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. You see, Ananias sold some property to give a donation to the ministry to help others who were less fortunate. But verse 2 tells us that they kept back. They withheld a portion for their own personal use. And his wife Sapphira, we see, knew about that sale and that decision to hide the truth of that sale price. And here we see the influence of an ungodly husband. As the spiritual head of the household, it was his responsibility to lead with integrity. Lead with integrity, but he chose to live a lie, pretending to be something he was not. That decision directly influenced his whole family, specifically his wife in this instant. I want you to notice at the end of verse 2, Ananias took a portion of the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He brought God a partial sacrifice, but his problem was he presented it before men as a whole. Now I want us to pause for just a moment. I want to apply this to our spiritual life. You see, when we come to God, we are to present ourselves in our entirety to Him, not withholding anything. There's verses that I read pretty much every time I preach, and I'm going to read them again this morning. Romans 12, 1 and 2, or 12 and 1. I want you to just note that on the side. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's only reasonable. It's only reasonable. To sacrifice something means that it is of no longer use to the one that's giving it. It is completely relinquishing it, not a partial surrender like many try to do. A burnt sacrifice was considered nothing but ashes to the person who was giving it, but it was considered a sweet-smelling savor in God's nostrils. So the first question we need to ask ourselves today is, are we sold out to God, or are we holding something back? Is there some little area that we are holding back? You know, too many join a church presenting themselves before men to be accepted as a member. You know, we even many times vote on the people as members. You know, those that know them would vote to receive them or not. And they come and they make a profession of faith. And by all appearance, they are proclaiming to be presenting their all. They appear to have sold a possession, but in truth are holding something back. How many of us truly understand that when we join the local church, this assembly right here, we are saying that we are willing to give our all in that local assembly to serve God? But how many of us truly, actually give our all? Now, in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus tells us the first commandment is to love thy God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, all our possessions, because the truth is, if he has all of you, he has all you have. Amen? Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? I want you to notice here, the temptation came, where did the temptation came from? In essence, Peter was asking, why have you allowed Satan to influence you? You see, that Satan doesn't want us to do our best. He don't want us to give our best to God. He'll tempt us, even as Christians, to hold back, whether it's strength, talents, or finances. He is going to tempt us to hold back. And he wants us to live a lie, pretending to love God with all of our heart while we hold back the very best that we could be given him. I want you to look at verse 4. Again, Acts 5, verse 4. It says, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. I want you to think on these questions. You see, it was their property. When they sold it, the money belonged to them. They could have given part of it if they didn't want to give all of it. They could have given part of it or none at all. But you see, they apparently wanted everyone to think they were very spiritual. So it was a show of pride as they publicly laid it at the apostles' feet, making everybody believe they gave their all. 2 Timothy 3:5 describes people like these as having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And you say, well, what does that mean? I'm talking about people who profess faith in God, but they deny his power to provide. You understand what I'm saying? People say, well, I can't give. I only make this much. How could I give? You're saying God's not able? God's not able to give back when you give your little part? Just because it's not as big as somebody else? It doesn't matter. God doesn't need the money anyway. He wants your faithfulness. He wants your faithfulness in your talents. He wants you to be using them to sing in a choir, to play the instruments, to do what you can, to clean the church, whatever it is. He wants your talents this morning. He wants everything that we have. But I want you to notice the end of verse 4. This should be a sobering wake-up call to anyone who is professing salvation but not possessing it. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You remember that saying? You can fool some of the people some of the time. You cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. See, God knows the truth. He knows your heart. And trying to give God something but your very best is like giving someone a lukewarm cup of coffee for you coffee lovers out there. Revelation 3:16 tells us if we're lukewarm, if we're neither hot nor cold, God will spew us out of his mouth. That's how nasty it is to him. Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. You see, Ananias was confronted with his sin, and he had no excuse. He had been a witness to the great works of the Lord and had the same opportunities to give himself fully to God. And I think about that as we all giving testimonies this morning. If you're here this morning, you have not given your heart to God, and you've heard all these testimonies. You're the same as these people right here, Ananias and Sapphira. They've heard it all, but yet they still held back. You see, he chose hypocrisy over truth and thought that he would get away with just living out of the will of God and without fellowship with God. The lie that he was living was exposed, and at that very instant, his life was taken from him, and he entered into eternity. Now, I want you to think about that man. The very last few moments of his life, the final words he heard, you have lied to God. You have lied to God. But those are not even the worst words that he would hear. Matthew 7:23 tells us that those who think their works are going to get them into heaven will hear a terrible proclamation from God one day when he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, just two verses before that, Jesus told us that not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Sadly, there are many people in our churches today who will continue to live their lives believing that they will get away with living as close to the world while claiming to love God. But I want to warn you again, you cannot deceive the Holy Spirit. There are serious consequences to hypocrisy. Serious consequences. Now we see Ananias' body was taken out and buried, and his soul went into eternity to face the very God that he had lied to. Look at verse 7 and beyond. Talking about a space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered to her, and tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. What a sad commentary we are hearing this morning. We've already said that Ananias was responsible for the spiritual welfare of his family. And we see that his sinful influence also brought down his wife. And I know she's an adult, she's responsible for her action, but just as Adam and Eve were in the garden together and Eve influenced Adam, both were guilty of that sin. Acts 16, Peter told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So it could have been come out much eternally better if Ananias would have just given his heart to the Lord and would have spiritually led his family to the feet of Jesus. You see, it starts at the top. It starts at the father, who needs to be faithful, serving God, holding nothing back. I want you to notice in verses 5 and 10 that both Ananias and Sapphira fell down at the Apostle Peter's feet. At the very place where they were to give their all in life, they gave it all up in death. Folks, God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. They agreed together in lying and not trusting God for provision. They kept some of the money just in case. You know, I mean, isn't that why we don't give all to God? Truthfully? Well, I don't make enough. What you're saying is, you know, I've got to hold back because I'm really not sure God's going to do what he says he's going to do. So that's why we hold back instead of giving and trusting God and trusting in his provision and trusting in his promises that he has made in his word. But I want you to know the part they kept back didn't do them any good. They died before they got an opportunity to use it. And we should notice that for their sin, they died physically. And they were removed. They were taken away from the presence of the apostles. But in the day that we're living, folks, if there are people who do not repent of their sin and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will die spiritually and they will be kept away from the presence of a holy God for eternity. Matthew 25:41. I'll just read it to you. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What a picture of God's judgment that was painted that day. In the final judgment, true believers will be separated from unbelievers, the sheep and the goats. Acts 5, verse 11, it was a picture that was not missed by anyone that witnessed it. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Folks, there should be fear in the heart of anyone who thinks that they can fool God. I want you to notice that this verse says that great fear came upon all the church. All the church. You see, there are many in the church who should be afraid. The evidence seen in their lives demonstrates just the opposite of their profession. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. I was teaching this morning about this very same thing. There's a lot of people that come into the churches and they look and act like Christians, but they're not. They're not this morning, folks. Sadly, because of false teaching, we're going to see a lot of people who are going to be going to hell because they didn't even realize the condition of their soul. There's so much false teaching in the world today. The gospel is being watered down from church to church to please the hearers. Repentance is not being taught like it ought to be. It's being replaced with a repeat after me little verse or little song that you got to sing or prayers for salvation. Folks, it's being watered down to where it's not being believed. God's word has been criticized as being judgmental, as being told to be exclusive.
God's word is God's word. What God said, God means. And the very words of the Bible have been altered through new translations that distort and they twist the words of God to say what the authors want it to say. We have to be careful about what version of the Bible we use. I'm not going to get into that this morning, but I can tell you it's a strong subject in my heart. We need the pure word of God in our hands. Holy living has been replaced with tolerance for sin. There's tolerance for everything except Christianity in this world today. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" There is a virus that is going through our churches that is more deadly than a flu or COVID ever could be combined. And that is the sin sickness that is allowed to be associated with and sometimes even falsely called Christianity. Christianity is not coming into a church, sitting down, coming down, repeating some words after somebody else. Christianity is giving your heart fully to God. You know, some people may think this is a little harsh what I'm teaching this morning, but I'm telling you, I didn't come up here as a missionary to come up here and give you a little final parting, little anecdote. I came up here to preach the Word of God this morning and let you know I am concerned for souls. I am concerned for souls, whether they're in Peru or here in the United States. And as we travel around, my wife and I, the different churches, we see so much false Christianity. We see so much weak Christianity. And I don't ever want that to be said of our church here. I don't see it now, and I don't want it to begin. I praise God for that here. And as Peter and John said to the high priest and others, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, things that God's word teaches us we need to be teaching." And as Christians, we must examine our faith and our testimony to a spiritually bankrupt society all the way around us. We need to bring out the truth. We also need to consider what examples we are giving to our families. What are the consequences of our actions, the way we are living? Now, while I was preparing this message, my brother sent me a short video of a preacher telling a story that he heard. And as I listened to it, I realized it pretty much summed up what I believe we should be getting from this message. And I want to share that version of it at least with you this morning as I try to bring this to a close. Close means about 10, 15 more minutes, but just so you know. No. Here's the story. There was a man who had 100 acres to sell. An individual showed up one day and said he wanted to buy that 100 acres. And the owner said, "I tell you what, I will sell you this property at such a great deal, you won't be able to say no." And he said, "I'll sell you 99 acres for a great price if you'll just let me keep 1 acre right in the middle of it, because that area is just so special to me." When he told the buyer the price he'd take for the 99 acres, he couldn't believe it. And I mean, he jumped and he let him buy that spot. And it sounded like a great deal at the moment. And as time went by, the guy with 1 acre in the middle became a big nuisance. You know, to get to his acre in the middle, he had to cross over the other guy's 99. Each time that the new owner tried to improve his property, the guy with 1 acre would tear up the ground getting to it. You know, he would leave ruts in there, he'd leave mud holes, and he would drive over the dry ground to where it just got so hard they couldn't do anything with it from the constant traffic on it. Now, this story illustrates many so-called Christians. They say that they're selling themselves out to God, lock, stock, and barrel. They tell God, "You got all of me, except for that one little piece right in the middle. That one little piece right in the middle." And no matter how hard they try, they try to be a good husband, a good wife, a good child, and they read their Bible, they fast and pray, they give to the poor, but they don't understand why the devil just keeps coming into their life. You know, no matter how hard they try, they can't seem to understand the Bible when they're reading it. "Oh, I don't understand it." They can't figure out why they can't give up their addictions. They don't know why their relationships aren't working. They're so wrapped up in what they thought was a great and easy deal that they don't realize that the devil's making inroads, trying to tear up what God is doing and wants to do in their lives. That one spot right in the middle is your heart. It is your heart. You see, if you give your efforts to God, but not your heart, Satan is going to move into that open space. If you give your money to God, but not your heart, Satan is going to occupy the most important part of your spiritual being, your heart. Acts 1:8 speaks of spiritual power. You see, spiritual power is proof of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And indwelling means he resides there. He dwells inside. He's not an occasional visitor. The Holy Spirit is not going to partially inhabit a person. You see, with him, it's either all or nothing. He either takes up permanent residence or he stays out. He'll keep knocking at the door for a time, but God's Word teaches us there will come a time when you won't hear that knock anymore. And if we continually put off that answering that knock at your heart's door, it's going to go silent. And you may not have another opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior, and you'll spend an eternity in a real place called hell. Folks, we are living in a time where true Christianity needs to come to the forefront. True Christianity needs to come to the forefront. Not only the forefront in our churches, but the forefront in our lives, the forefront in our homes, the forefront in our workplace. It's not just a Sunday thing, and it can't be anymore. In these last days, folks, it's not time to play church. It is time to be the church. Amen? Can I hear anyone say amen to that? It is time for us to be the church. And we brag about our church, and it is doing great. And I am so proud of this church and proud to be a part of it. But there's always something more we can do to reach souls. Amen?
Amen.
It is time to be the church. It's not going to be easy to be a Christian in these last days, and anyone who tells you it is, ain't one.
Right.
If anybody tells you that it's easy to be a Christian, I can tell you they're not one. But we need to surrender our all to Jesus Christ. Brother, if you come on, if you're here, and if you never asked Jesus to come into your heart to save you, don't put it off any longer. You need to make that decision today to give your heart to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you have any doubt about it, you need to make sure of that today. You need to make sure before you leave this building. You don't need to walk out one more time and say, you know, I really think I am. I really think I am. And it could be that you are saved. You're just a little confused. We'd be glad to explain that to you down here at the altar. Folks, let me ask you the same question that Peter asked Ananias. If you're sitting here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, why have you allowed Satan to influence you? Don't listen to the influences of this world that say, oh, well, if you become a Christian, you won't have as many friends. You know, you won't be as popular. You won't have fun anymore if you're a Christian. Maybe you're in a family that's playing this same dangerous game, pretending to be a family of Christians. You don't have to go along with it. I'm not suggesting rebellion against parents. I'm talking about turning to God yourself. Turn your own heart. Live your own life for God at home, and your parents will see it. Folks, you've got to stand before God one day. You will stand before God one day, and you will give an account for your decisions and your actions. You can't depend on somebody else. And for those of us who are Christians here today, who claim to be Christians, we need to examine ourselves and make sure we're in the faith. Does our verbal testimony say that we've surrendered, that we've given our all to Christ, but our actions, our real testimony, what does it say this morning? I encourage everyone, when you have a time, to pick up a hymnal, and I want you to read the words, "To is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid." The chorus goes like this. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. So is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid this morning? Your hobbies, your habits, your heart, your worldly desires, is it all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Have you given all that up to make sure that God is preeminent in your life? Matthew 13:45 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Folks, we need to surrender our all to our great God and Savior, because it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother, as he sings a verse, I want you to not even wait, because I believe that is our time on this earth is that short. We don't need to wait and say, maybe I'll do it next Sunday. We may not have a next Sunday, because I really believe that at any moment, Christ could come back. I'm not saying that as a preacher. I'm saying that because I look at what's going on around us. I believe he could come back at any time, and we don't need to waste any time. We need to give our hearts to Christ. And if we already have, and we're Christians, we need to be serving him with everything we have. We need to give him our all. Brother Allen.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Maybe there's some other reason that you'd like to come down and pray this morning. Just feel free to come down to this altar. It's open for you this morning.
I am the clay. Mold me and make me.
Is that your prayer? Mold me and make me after thy will? Or are we still trying to live in our own will this morning? Don't waste any time.
Yielded and still.
One more verse, please.
Have thine own way.
Several are coming. Anybody else?
Have
Don't wait until it's eternally too late.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, wash me just now, as in thy presence.
You're in your seat, just bow your head right there and talk to him right now. Anything on your heart you need to share with him? If not, pray for those that are down here at the altar this morning. The Lord's been moving since we came in here this morning. I felt his presence through your testimonies this morning, and I still feel him now. He wants to do a work, so don't stifle him. Let him do it.
Help me, I pray. Power all. Surely is thine. Touch me and save your divine.
I've poured out my heart this morning because I do. Before I leave this country, I wanted you to know what God has laid on my heart. I've been preaching at many churches since we've been here and preaching on, and y'all have heard the message, the watchman. And I've talked about how we need to be faithful, be sharing the word in these last days. Because our days are the last ones, I believe, on this earth. I believe there are people right here today that's going to see him when he comes in the air. I may be wrong. But we don't need to take that chance, do we? We need to be ready no matter when it is. No matter when it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now on behalf of this church, on behalf of those about at this altar, Lord. I don't know why they're here, if it had anything to do with the message, Lord, but I know you're working on hearts. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just work whatever is needed in each one of these that have bowed at the altar, Lord. Work out whatever it is. If it's faithfulness, if it's salvation, if it's anything going on in their lives, Lord, I pray that you just have your hand on it, that you would work there in it. Lord, that you would have your perfect will in each situation. And, of course, that you would receive all the glory for the work that is done. Father, I lift up our church this morning. I lift up our pastor. And I pray that as Carl and I head back to Peru, that you would just constantly have your hand on this church. Lord, help it to just feel your presence. Lord, help it to continue to grow in faithfulness, grow in the knowledge of your word, that this church would be a light and a beacon to all those around, that there would be none in this church, Lord, that are living a lie, but that every light would shine bright as we walk out the doors of this church today. Lord, let not one person walk out of here with that burden in their heart not settled. I pray, dear God, you would just work in each heart. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Justin. Yes.
Appreciate the message, Brother Don. Thank you for all those who've come to the altar this morning. And I trust if you ever see someone in the altar, I trust you'll at least pray for them in your pew or come down and join them in the altar. And we appreciate the altar support this morning. And we certainly appreciate the message. Tell you what, let's all stand to our feet. Many are aware, especially those who will be going tomorrow, but school is about to be back in session. And I had to bring it up at some point today, but school is about to be back in session. And what I want to do this evening before we dismiss is have a back-to-school prayer time at the conclusion of the service. And so looking forward to that. We just want to pray for your well-being, your protection, both physically and spiritually, and for all of our teachers as well. And so just remember that this evening. All right. Any other thing to mention before we close? Again, remember, deacons, just a brief deacons meeting in just a few moments. Went off to college. Brother LC is on his way to college, so remember him. Okay, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer, and then meet us back tonight at 5 o'clock. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this message, Lord, from your watchman. God, help us all daily check our sacrifice. Make sure, Lord, that it's all there on the altar. I heard that illustration when I first got saved about the 100 acres and buying the 99 and all of that. And I thought it was sobering then. It's still sobering now of how the devil can get in and how he can work in a person's life to destroy it, not make it better. So use this message, Lord, for days ahead even in our hearts. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for that. Be with us this afternoon. Bring us back safely this evening. And be with Brother Don and Sister Carla as they venture back to Caimarca, Peru. Continue to have your hand of protection and blessing on them, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.